is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for LifeWise with Joff Talbot. Joff is a healer, researcher of meta-science, and the creator of LifeWise, creating life balance through conversation, group work, and practice. Following an awakening in 2013, Joff's path to the spiritual cracked wide open. He combined his healing experience over two decades with a 20-year career working with youths as a youth manager in England. His quest to help find our way back from ourselves to ourselves in the shortest way possible. Please welcome Joff back to News for the Soul.
Yay! News for the Soul. This is LifeWise Radio brought to you by Joff Talbot. How's everybody doing out there? I hope we're doing okay. Happy new day, happy afternoon, happy evening, wherever you are in your respective places doing what you do. Well, what sort of a show I have for you today. Okay, where to start? This wonderful guest I first bumped into listening to Buddha at the Gas Pump podcast, actually. You can find it on YouTube also, but I have quite an affinity for this podcast. It's super good. There's amazing people on there. As such, I bumped into our guest today, Lisa Rose, and heard the story and was just blown away. Lisa is an experiencer of 3 years of bliss. We say that we have, you know, our moments here and there. Lisa's kind of tend to extend for that little bit longer, of which we'll kind of get into. But first, I'd like to read a little bit, if I may, Lisa, from your paperwork you sent me.
Yeah, sure, John.
That's awesome. And hi, Lisa. How are you doing before we do jump in there?
Hi. I'm wonderful. Yes, it's good to hear your voice.
Yahoo! Yeah, it's great. We caught up earlier this week. Was it last week, wasn't it? Yeah. And yeah, so wonderful to connect with you. I'm sure we'll have a great time here. This time always goes super quick, so I'll try not to rabbit on too much. So thank you so much for being on LifeWise Radio.
And
well, what a story we have to share for folk, and some similarities myself, selfishly. So yeah, can't wait to dive into things. So I'll read a little excerpt. So the flash sensation where every particle in my body stood at attention as if meeting its maker. Intuitively, I believe it to be the feeling of birth, where every particle of my being, plasma and all, was in perfect alignment with the universe. It was absolutely the most incredible sensation, unparalleled even to bliss. The euphoric sensation, where something slid back in the middle of my head. I have had people tell me it was the spiritual eye opening up. Yeah, I have come to see it more specifically as the magnetic pole reversal required for entrance into the next dimension. I'm still contemplating this, but what felt like the lid of an eye sliding away. The euphoria speaks to something with grandiose intent. The energy that began gushing through the top of my head felt like a fire hose. I believe was the force of all of the invalid, unshareable thoughts and corresponding negative emotions I was holding in my body organism that were released back to the universe for dissolution. Now, obviously, I could go on because the piece that you sent me was just—it's amazing. So, anyway,
yeah,
welcome
yeah.
to Lifeworks Radio, Lisa.
Bring back good memories.
How you doing?
Yeah. Wonderful.
So, what I'd love, if it's okay, is maybe we could kind of, would be silly not to kind of go on your backstory, and then obviously where you want to go with things, you know, current days and into the future.
Okay.
If that's
all
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Just a little bit on the backstory. Somewhere about 2013 or so, I decided I had just enough of human suffering, my own suffering, but more importantly, those from of family members and friends around me. It just seemed like things were at a stage, people were experiencing things that I could no longer accept as that our Creator would allow for such catastrophic things happening to people near and dear to me. So I virtually just declared I wanted to know God, and I was very emphatic about it. And little did I know, Geoff, that in itself is a probably the most prominent, I think forceful kind of surrender one can make to their Creator is, I want to know you. I want to know God. And but I had really no idea what I was in store for as a result of that declaration. Things just really took off at a very rapid pace. And you know, without going into the suffering, because everybody experiences sure. suffering, but do know that there is a higher power out there for which we can all tap into. And that higher power is really just waiting for you to say, I have had enough. There is something that is not right with what's going on. And it is true. It is true. The things that were going on in and around me, that the experiences people were having and that I was having were a result of my thinking, my separation from my Creator, not knowing that I was always in touch with creation, all of creation. I had no sense of that. I had no inner world at all just for the first 5 decades of my life. So that's what led to what I call an inward focus. I did not know anything about meditation or contemplation at all. This declaration and wanting to know God, it was as if intuitively, instinctively, you began focusing your attention inward. I had heard from the Bible that, you know, we must turn away from the world. There were certain biblical sayings that did come to mind, and so intuitively we just turn our attention inward. I could not receive from the Bible. I did pick up a Bible and tried to receive from the Bible, but my heart it wasn't prepared to go there, Geoff. I was immediately mm-hmm. led to like mind science, meditative science, and eventually fixed upon a beautiful small pamphlet that led me further and further and further inward towards contemplative practice.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. So I think for about two and a half years, I was in what I would say open-eyed contemplative practice, again, not knowing anything about meditation, Eastern philosophy, ancient wisdom, not knowing anything about prayer. I found myself very willingly in open-eyed meditation. Excuse me, I'll use the word contemplation. That's what it was. I would read a sure. passage from this particular pamphlet and find myself very, very drawn to the truths that were being laid out in my mind and in my heart, and would find myself staring at the shimmering lake water or into a fireplace or bonfires. We were making bonfires a lot during this period, and finding myself 4 and 5, 6 hours a day at times, up until the experience itself, in contemplation.
I mean, that's so. That was kind of time to digest the information that you're taking in, and then to sort of processing, finding your quiet places, no matter what they are. Do you know what? Just before I kind of carry on, there's a proverb which I actually said on the last show, but it goes like this. You might like it. It's a Dzogchen proverb, a tantra. It says, like a bee, seek nectar or seek teachings. As a bee seeks teachings from. No, it doesn't. I'll start again. As a bee seeks nectar from many flowers, so you should seek teachings from wherever you can. Like a deer finds a secluded place to digest its meal, so you should find a secluded spot to digest all you have learnt. Like a lion lives fearlessly, and finally, like a madman, live free. Live free of all bounds. And it's along those lines. Obviously, clearly, I don't have in front of me. Otherwise, a bee wouldn't be seeking teachings. But this is the kind of a bee you bump into, I guess. You know, there's probably some clever ones out there, right?
It's interesting, Joff. I really never felt like I was seeking. I never really did. It was this higher power that was leading me all the way. And where I would happen upon what was one of the biggest things that quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quantum physics. I didn't study quantum physics. I didn't go out and search. It came across, I think, through reading some of Greg Braden's material. And in there, at a very surface level, it introduces one to the theories, right? The aspects of quantum of theory, quantum theory. My mind said, well, sure, and it opened my mind up to the non-material nature of what we call. Matter, and that it is not what it appears to be, including our bodies. And so naturally my mind said, well, if my body is not solid matter, then it must be of something of spirit that I really can't define. The next thing that I was led to was this pamphlet that expressed God in terms of consciousness. And I thought, well, I'm a conscious being, or at least that's how we say, that we experience consciousness, and so I began to accept myself as conscious being instead of the person that I thought I was, with this body, and began to accept that in my mind. And that was a very transformative kind of thing, but it's not as if I spent a year studying quantum physics at all. It was just something that was a natural kind of thing that was occurring, and I was allowing for it. That was another part of what I called the surrender process, just allowing your mind to be taken on this journey, and to pretty much whatever is coming my way, I would sample it like the bee you were talking about, going from flower to flower, not really even knowing I was not feeling I was searching or seeking anything. I was picking up the nectar,
Indeed. This has been a carbon copy to what happened to me in 2013. It's the same thing. After a moment, and then whatever that moment kind of is, and I find it quite slippery, it's tricky, as I explained to you, the subtleties of it. And then what actually ensued, which is probably more the point, is this gathering of information. It was beautiful information. It's everything that you're saying. You know, it was the, it's the slippery stuff. You know, it's quantum, it's ET, it's crop circles. It's so much stuff that I'd kind of sort of bumped into before, but never really paid too much. Not, anyway, it wasn't, it didn't seem like it was my world. At this time around, it very much was my world. But like you, I wasn't kind of learned in this. So it was a case of, but it just came, and it came from so many angles. So that I can completely share. And then going, right, okay, well, clearly, you know, we're part of, you know, we're one tiny little filament of a thread on a massive Persian carpet, which is essentially this stunning design of what we're all part of, but we only sort of like have this little experience. And at some point, well, but what I can't say that I had the same kind of like the jolt as say that you had. Can you kind of walk us into then what happened with, say, you know, ensuing years of bliss in that case? What was the joint?
Yeah, well, it was, and not knowing anything about this beautiful life energy, people call it Kundalini, prana. It's our very life energy that is within us and all around us. And but I knew nothing about energy systems or what do you call it? Energy bodies around us. What I landed on, and again, it's this higher power that put the things in front of me that were necessary for my own heart and mind to gather a level of coherence. And one of the first things that had to happen was my heart had to open. A lot of my energy had been stuck in my lower three chakras. And how do I know this? Because I had about 20 years worth of heart palpitations. They began at an early, like in my early 30s, and for 20 years, and unexplained by this time I'm in the care of a cardiologist for over a decade with pills and things, but nobody could explain the heart palpitations. Once my heart opened up through my contemplative practice, and I know that the heart opened up because virtually within two days, my heart palpitations of 20 years virtually disappeared. So I know I began to feel that energy was no longer stuck there because the heart wasn't palpitating as much and I was feeling much more open. But there was still another piece that had to come into alignment, and as the energy began rising, and this I did feel very prominently, began rising, and was then got stuck at the top of my head. People say, you know, this crown chakra, and the reason I know that is because it began building up downward through my head, into my jaws, into my neck, into my chest and shoulders. I could actually feel this energy building up. So what they say about energy systems and chakras, I did experience a lot of that, a lot of the physiological effects of rising energy through the body. And it was as if then finally, the energy had to go somewhere. And all along, and this is a really important piece, Joff, and a part of my role, I think, for humanity in trying to demystify this beautiful life energy. Mm-hmm. It really, every single step of the way, I never feared what I was experiencing physiologically. Never did. There was always a knowing, some level of comfort, that everything was going to be all right, that this was my life that was taking care of me. And I wasn't to run to here and go get more pills. No, this was life working through me. And it was just a knowing that everything was going to be all right. And so finally, it happened early February 2016. I happened to go sit on my bed and with my legs stretched out. That is when that flash sensation that you just read occurred. Beautiful, just outstanding flash sensation. And yes, you call it a rebirth. Now that I look back, 5 years, it has been 5 years since the experience, but And can I talk about the experience real quick? And then we'll move it
yeah,
to the bliss.
Please
because,
do.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
because the experience is really cool. And yeah, it really is.
It's really
and,
cool. And what's also really cool is that you were sitting there with your legs stretched out, but you said before that you had a beer. Now, I found that actually quite important because it means that you're a very grounded person who's just chilling out on bed having a beer, which is great. You know,
I speak to a bazillion people here.
Not everyone.
I love beer. And I had just gotten off this two-hour phone call that where I was doing all the talking. I was darn, yeah, I was thirsty, and it was nighttime. So I popped open a beer. I had some homework to do. I had enrolled in a class. This is cool. Okay, so I had enrolled in a class to learn and study not just the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, but his early life as well. And it was a 6-week course that took everybody through his childhood all the way through to where he was in ashram. And so we were on day 8 of that class, and I happened to sit down with this cold beer. I took a swig of it. I picked up the book, The Spiritual Teaching of Ramana Maharshi, and I looked at the cover of it. And, you know, by this time, Joff, the pressure in my head was such that I was having such difficulty doing any of this homework, which was basically to try to read some of the passage of the teachings and do some meditation. Well, meditation was out for me. It was never anything that I picked up on. I could contemplate some of the words, but a lot of the stuff was in Sanskrit, very Sanskrit terms. And I was having a lot of difficulty. And I, by this time too, I was a little upset at Ramana Maharshi because we had just read, we were on day 8 of the class. We had just read that where he, you know, as a teenager, he had run to the mountains and not able to even take care of himself. The people would find him laying in, you know, on the sidewalks with bugs crawling over him, and his body was getting diseased. And I was kind of a mess, a physical mess. And I literally threw the book across the bed. I tossed it across the bed. Said, "Ramana, how could you do this to your beautiful young body? I can't even. Oh my gosh, I couldn't understand in my mind how a young person could do that." And that's when it happened. That the flash sensation where every particle of my body felt like it was standing at attention, meeting its maker. My eyes clamped shut. They clamped shut. I did not close my eyes. I did not. They clamped shut by some higher power, and something did slide back in the middle of my head. It did feel like an eyelid, but I don't think. We'll talk more about that later, but the energy that had been building up in my upper torso began gushing, and I call it energy. My eyes were clamped shut. I didn't see what it was. It felt like what would appear, you know, water bursting out of a fire hose. It had that kind of force coming through the crown of my head, and within probably a couple minutes, and I'm in awe. I mean, it feels so good. It really does. But within a couple of minutes, a light body image of Ramana Maharshi, you know, the guy I just threw his book across the bed. There he is. I have a light body image of Ramana Maharshi appear behind my closed eyes. And we began a telepathic communication. What was really cool is at first, it just appeared like he was going to come say, "Hey," and then be off. And I asked him to stay. And when he obliged, the image shifted to behind my left eye instead of behind my closed eyes. It just shifted to behind one of the eyelids, right? And along with that, my entire heart chakra, almost my entire torso from my neck on down to my abdomen, just welled up in this beautiful, beautiful, loving, warm energy because I had invited him to stay. It was so gorgeous. And then, and we continued the conversation. It was just telepathic communication, which I thought was really cool. And then the image eventually faded. He said a couple of things to me, which I held to be almost like instruction, right? And And I've abided in the specific instruction, and the energy kept gushing through my head for probably another 10 minutes. That's how I know the beer was still cold after the energy finally subsided. And I took, took another swig of that beer. I'm like, what just happened? I wrote down everything, and eventually fell asleep. And that was early February 2016. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous experience. And I would really wish it upon every single person. It was just fabulous from beginning to end. You know, just that 15 minutes. Yeah.
Such a stunning, it's not even a story. It's an experience. that kind of like leaves folk with, because every time I saw, not every time, but I talk to people about people like yourself, and I guess like the moment I've kind of gone through, and with people kind of, because everyone's on their journey, but everyone's at different stages of their journey, and but I get a lot of, well, you know, this doesn't happen to everyone. You know, when's my turn and stuff like this, you know, in the kind of, it's a very kind of like natural reaction, maybe. I don't know, this whole thing that somebody else is sort of more important or special than I am. But I guess all from your experience, then it's born out of certain scenarios, which then you're seeking whatever felt right at the time. And that seems to be the difference for me, is that you're seeking with no real end goal, but you're feeling your way through all this information.
Oh, yeah, I had no idea. Geoff, I had no idea what a spiritual awakening was. I had never heard of it. I wanted to know.
Well, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I
didn't know about a spiritual community. I didn't know. I was just so green. I was so far in the world and unaware of any inner presence whatsoever. That's how, I was that far out in the world. It took that kind of explosive experience for me to come home, I'll say. Okay?
Sure.
It
well, you give
a lot, a lot of people that, yeah, I know lots of people my age and I'm 60-ish. I know a lot of people my age who, stumbled on transcendental meditation, let's say, back in their 20s. I'd never even heard of it. You know, so there are people my age who've had these meditative practices for decades who are awakening, now that I know what that is, who are awakening at a much different pace. And I think you and I talked about this the other day, right? And as far as your experience is concerned, it's happening at a almost it's not going to take a sledgehammer, right, to bust open your consciousness, Geoff, like it did for me. So while mine was, it was very, very extraordinary, and I love it, right? There are all kinds of awakenings that were just as much extraordinary things happening I listen to everybody's awakening story now, and it's like, wow, cool, how cool is that, you know?
Yeah. It's so cool. It really is. And I mean, but you paint such a beautiful picture for, I'd say, like kind of like the average us, you know, the average person, that I guess then maybe it's about alignment, but these situations, they just seem to happen. I've got to say, though, personally, between you and I, as in our stories, but others who I bumped into, the timing of around, well, 2012, 2013, around that neck of the woods, is really interesting, because I bumped into this with a lot of people just through my own search of going, what did happen to me? You know, what really was it? Because it was so flipping subtle, but the outcomes have been phenomenal, way different to what I was. But, you know, I'm still the same person, still love to go skate and have a beer and this, that, and the other, you know, but like I said before, you know, there's less distraction
and more focus. But what is it that created that focus? It seems to be a shared thing. You know, let's go Rupert Sheldrake and the morphogenetic field, or getting a bit geeky on that whole scenario. But, you know, we're one part of this, a far bigger scenario. But it's so loving and adventurous. And, well, that's the way I used to do it anyway. And the people who I bump into with similar stories, they're similar but very different, let's be honest, they come with the same sort of feel. So I've got two questions for you, actually. One, which was, what was the instruction from Ramana Maharshi? Or is that a kind of like a private thing? And also then kind of with the... bliss experience. So yeah, how about the first one, the instruction?
Yeah, right before the image faded, he said, "Hold on, stay inside." Now, number one, that's a song phrase from a song that I would sing at the top of my lungs for nearly a decade, and not that I'm a heavy metal kind of person, but I just happen to like this song, so I played it in my vehicle all the time and sang it at the top of my lungs. It's from Tool called Parabola. And I would sing it all the time, and that's a song phrase inside of that. And it's a highly spiritual song. It's about the spirit of life taking over the individual's body. So hold on, stay inside. And by the way, Joff, my consciousness never left my body during this experience. I've been asked that, and hold on, stay inside was kind of part of that. I was not going to leave my body. I was not dying. Cool. It was not a near-death experience. But I also took it to mean as more time went on, number one, I didn't rush to the computer and try to interpret what had happened to me. I hold on, stay inside, meaning keep my attention inward. Not knowing anything about any bliss or anything that was going to ensue, I did not run to the computer and type in Kundalini or I didn't seek a spiritual community or anything. I just let what was going to happen happen. I actually just continued on with my contemplative practice as best as I could. I completed the 6-week Ramana Maharshi course. You know, I think I got an A.
but that's impressive stuff.
I think I passed. But it was not until probably about five months later that I realized that I was feeling a lot differently and elated. And I began to realize that I no longer had negative human emotions, things that would have normally stirred some sort of, you know, anger or frustration inside of me. I would go and try to get angry and it just wouldn't happen. It was just like, oh, well, I'm not feeling that anymore. It's no negative human emotions whatsoever. And so the bliss, it continued to rise and bring about different altered physiological states. The pressure inside my upper torso finally subsided and gave way to what I would call this heart-brain coherence. I could feel my consciousness shifting. I could feel the truths of my being. I was contemplating my infinite and eternal nature, and a lot of that take root in my consciousness as a truth. I, of course, by this time had already come to know myself as divine peace and divine love. That's what opened up my heart chakra. But these, what I call these higher, more elevated aspects of our consciousness, when we think in terms of our omniscient nature, our omnipotent nature, these were things I was contemplating, and they actually then began to take root in my consciousness, no longer, you know, as a intellectual discussion, but they became experiential, and that was the beauty of things. So a lot of about 3 years that was happening was my consciousness, my everyday awareness was being held inward. I didn't have to do anything. I wasn't meditating. This was just part of the natural process of what I call rebirth that keeps your attention pretty much focused in, like a little kid playing with his toys. Seriously, that's what I would watch the clouds. I would watch, you know, I was amazed and in wonder and in awe of just anything that was of Mother Nature, of Gaia, rocks and mountains and weather and all kinds of things like that. So my attention is being held inward, and nothing in the world would bother me. It didn't even have an iota of my attention. Everything was sliding off of me like Teflon. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful 3-year period, and feeling the physiological changes in my body, and in particular in my brain, and bringing about that coherence that's so necessary for us and for our own health and well-being. I came to understand that as part of the inherent ability of our body to self-regulate. I came to know this later as I began studying. When I came out of bliss, I finally had, another part of the bliss is I had no desires to do anything. None whatsoever.
Anything?
Just to be in bliss. Nothing. I had no desire to do anything. I really did not. I was in bliss and happy. I just run around. We sold the house and moved to Colorado, and we took up fly fishing and tent camping, things that, we'd never done. And I eventually, the bliss did peak and began to subside, and I had to come to terms with that. Had it skyrocketed further, I wouldn't be here talking about one, right, because I had no desires other than to be in bliss. But it did
come back,
off,
Lisa,
come back. But it was something I had to come to grips with. But it's really kind of cool because now I can sit here and talk to folks and piece together what happened to me. So after the 3 years, that's how I've been spending 2019 and 2020, pretty much just trying to understand man's interpretation of what happened to me.
Sure.
Now, I have kind of I'm calling it a rebirth, but I get a lot of raised eyebrows at that, but it's true. I felt like a newborn for those 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my consciousness was during that 3-year period was released of all my false beliefs and error patterns that I had developed over the 50 some odd years of my life prior. They fell away. All these belief systems that I had about human, man-made human constructs that we subject ourselves to. You know how it is. And they just fell away one by one. And no longer am I in pursuit of God at some church. It's right here within our very
reach.
Isn't
it stunning how it transcends? Sorry, go on.
Yes.
I've completely interrupted. Go on.
No, it's gorgeous. You know what I'm talking about.
It transcends where we're at now, sort of thing.
Yeah.
The kind of global issues. Well, I was kind of thinking if everything was like in a completely perfect, exactly how you want it, chances are you probably get sort of like fall off your bike and break both your legs anyway and have a right horrible day.
Uh-huh.
So you can take these experiences now, like you say, it's like this Teflon, this everything kind of sliding off. I've got to say, I've always been kind of graced with that, which is a beautiful thing. But sorry, I interrupted you. I was just kind of excited there. You might be able
to. No, I'm glad that you, I wasn't like that, Joff. I wasn't like that. I was a business student. I had a master's degree. I was in the business world. I was, like I said, way in the world. I had developed created my own businesses and, accounting and business plans and everything were very much a part of my life. And if something got out of alignment there, there was disruption in every single day. If I wasn't making profit or the revenue budget or whatever, that was my life. Oh boy, I'm so far from that now. I am.
Well,
so
that's
far
so
from
important
that
to hear
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
That's really yeah. That oh,
Because then that means kind of like the contrast, obviously. Well, I'm well aware of time sticking. So where you said about like there's so many different directions we could go. I've got a bazillion notes. But ultimately, what I think would be really nice is, so following this scenario and then the kind of bliss then dying down, I say dying down, you know, just lessening, so then you could be a bit more grounded in order to share your story as such, which I can only super appreciate it. You know, I'm quite a nosy guy, and I feel this every day since listening to your show and then me finding you, because I'm not on Facebook or anything, and then finding you. I've been so grateful for your story, one, listening to it, and then touching base with you, and then talking to you now. I don't know, I consider you someone, I don't know, just a very beautiful person, and I'm very kind of pleased to have you in my life, even if it's for like a short piece of time, I don't know, whatever it is, but I think it's so important to share this with folk, just because it's kind of, it's needed, it's information and people's experiences, which is very tangible and touchable, reachable. At the same time, it's, you know, it's something to kind of aim for as well, actually. And you don't have to be kind of constantly focused on the kind of world circus, which is, well, never too far away. And it's just really important. So what happens to Lisa now then? Like, where are you?
Well,
what are you,
I'm glad you asked. Yeah, I love sharing. And I am so glad we met. It's the universe at play, of course. You know that. And I speak as best as I can to the importance of our intention, purposeful desire, and it being pure, coming from the heart. I mean, mine was, I want to know God now. I was very emphatic, and it was a pure intention infused with passion. And I didn't know any of this.
Sure.
But it was a very pure intent, and so I can't say enough about the power of intention. And then what also started to unfold during the bliss period was just how some of the things that are just so innately inherent in our physiology. We talked about this a little bit, Joff, that our mind-body organism is way more powerful than we've been led to believe, either knowingly or unknowingly. It doesn't really, I always say, hey, you know, we're just moving on. And I'm telling you here right now that our mind-body organism is way more powerful than we know, and our innate abilities in terms of self-healing, of being able to heal ourselves if we just give the body just an opportunity to do it. And in most cases, we see it. Like if we get a scrape or a scratch on us, it heals. So do other things if we just give the body a chance to heal. Psychic abilities, these are, I think, there at all times. They've been suppressed, or we've been told, no, don't go there. But obviously I spoke telepathically, and I play with remote viewing. I talk to people now who have the ability to channel, you know, or whether they call that mediumship. I talked to people just recently, not too long ago, people who regularly astral project. I mean, these are things that I would have never allowed myself to get involved with, but now I practice them as a means of, it's all part of life itself. They're not anomalous experience. We've just been unaware of these capabilities, especially here in the West, and you know, extraordinary talent. I've heard people have awakenings and being able to pick up the piano keyboard and be able to, all you know, within a few weeks they're playing the keyboard. I dusted off my keyboard and toy around with that. You know, I at one point in time during the bliss, I was writing writing my own prayers and poetry. I'd never had that kind of artistic or talent at all before. And things like, and I've come across people that receive direct knowing. I know somebody that receives information about water and its ionization direct from the universe behind closed eyes, and a woman who receives history of Egypt, you know, direct from the universe. So these are all innate abilities that we have that have just been suppressed. So I engage with people now who have these kinds of abilities, and it's fun. It's no longer about, hey, let's go down and, you know, have dinner as always. That's not the entertainment anymore. It's sure. Working on this inner world that I find so very thrilling, and talking to people who are what we call consciousness explorers. Yeah.
Yeah, anything around
that's,
there,
so that's
right?
Where I am. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They're the most amazing stories, because then, again, it kind of encourages the average person, like you said, that the information has been suppressed and it's been out there. And in fact, it's who we are. To be honest, in order to be a setup that manages to suppress this, even mm-hmm. with the internet, I think there's some point where there's like this cognitive dissonance, really, at some point where people just kind of, that's it, they kind of switch off, you know, because you then mm-hmm. you're then governed by your limitations, and then the little bits that you can do, just because that's how everyone did it before you, and that's how your mates are doing it now. But I've mm-hmm. got to say, fundamentally, things are different. And then once those limitations have been challenged, then it's not like that whole thing instantly changes. It does, but it doesn't. I mean, you're still in the world, and it's that classic thing of, you know, you're in the world but not of it. And I kind of go there, but you're mm-hmm. all things. But the thing is that this is information that has been suppressed, and therefore it does point to all things are really pretty sketchy. Doesn't mean the challenges aren't important, because they are important, and that's really one of the reasons why we're here anyway, is to kind of go through this learning and stumble and get it right and stumble again and kind of step up and push ourselves as well as, you know, get the rewards, all that stuff. But there's so much that is so simple and easy and beautiful. And I think that's what we're now kind of, because we peaked a while ago, but the people who like that peak are still trying to keep that going to a point of, well, whatever. I'll let that one kind of slide for the moment, because then it's going into different theories on this. But ultimately, the way it feels is there's an energy that's tried to peak, kind of industrious ways of working and progress and what's your version of success and stuff like that. Well, it turns out that it hurts more people than it does do anyone any favors. So then we've kind of peaked, we've tumbled off, and then there's so many people going, oh right, oh my gosh, like, who's this Greg Braden bloke talking about deep truth? Like, what the heck? Like, and then this Joe Dispenza guy who falls off his bike and repairs himself. You know, suddenly there's like mm-hmm. a bin load of people, and you're bumping into, like, what is that you've never heard about? It seems like it's a whole bunch of X-Men and X-Women from some Marvel film. But no, that's you. That's you. And this is where I come from. I'm like, oh, my flipping goodness. And so but the stage is set and it's poised for, because young people already got it. They come already equipped. That all they just need is the odd grown-up just to go, yeah, no, that's you.
and the odd grown-up and then, to move over, yeah.
Heck yeah. But then you kind of move, yeah, definitely, because there's that whole teacher learner who, what's what, you know, well, we're both, no matter what age you are. But really then we're kind of going into this beautiful time, and that's the way it really feels, and that means a whole mm-hmm. lot to me. And we really do share between you and I, and probably others as well, and maybe we can tap into this a bit more like way after the show, about how then that kind of comes together in your own little experience, and then putting it out to whoever. I mean, we're doing it now, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And the platforms that we're on and all the rest of it, we are doing that work, and it is simple and it is beautiful, and it doesn't have to beat on
everything that came before. It's just nice one, thanks. Okay, it's turned a little bit dark, but I'm going to move away now. I've been realigned, thanks. But
yes, thank you.
Thanks for everything. Wonderful. But then it's about these innate abilities and skills that we have, telepathy, healing, obviously kind of self-healing, because, well, like you said, we get a grade and then it mends itself. But there's oh my gosh, quick, I have to share this one. In the holographic universe, Michael Talbot, there's a story in there about a guy in Italy who his hip was eroding, basically, bottom line. His hip joint was eroding.
Okay.
He's getting scans, this, that, and the other, all the doctors and whatever, they're saying exactly the same thing. Yeah, it is eroding, never mind, DARPA, good luck with that, because they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
He goes to Lourdes in France and other kind of like renowned holy places and such. And then all of a sudden, after a while, his hip starts to grow back, and he's like,
mm-hmm,
oh,
of course,
well, that's nice. And then and then I go, oh my gosh. And but it all makes sense. Okay, I just wish it didn't have to be in such desperate situations in order for us to go, okay, cool, mate, it's a mindset, and that mindset is then about kind of breaking out of your limitations and the disaster, you know, ways of doing about business,
yeah,
and relying on people that don't really like you, and in order to kind of take more pills and be in that scenario, when actually you've got everything there. It's a mindset thing, and you're more beautiful than you will ever know, because you're incapable of knowing just how much that is. You're capable of feeling it sometimes, even in this earth form. So kind of let's go. So I massively admire what you're doing, because it's exactly what I'm kind of trying to do myself, is kind of share this with people that resonate, right? Because we're in this time.
Well, you know, the what I see are a lot of people having somewhat spontaneous awakenings, and then there are people like what I did. I set the intention. I didn't set the intention to awaken. I set an intention to know God. I set an intention. So we have the spontaneous. We have once perhaps people start hearing my story, yes, we can set the attention. And it may not be the word God for some people, but I want to embody only truths. I want to embody only truths. What are our truths? We are divine peace. We are divine love. We are infinite spirit. We are eternal. We are omniscient spirit. These are our truths. These are not just affirmations. These are truths. And we go and we say, I am infinite spirit. I am. I am truth. I am eternal. And when we state our truths, it is impossible for the mind-body organism to not respond. It is impossible for the mind-body organism to not respond to truth. So we say that. It's not an affirmation. It's not. There's a lot of new thought stuff out there and abundance. And when we state our truth, right, watch what happens. And we no longer – what we're doing is we're transcending our limited self. So the mind-body organism in all of its beautiful glory has been made, constructed, in order to transcend its own self-limiting thoughts, its own belief systems. Isn't it just gorgeous the way 100%. Life has prepared the mind-body organism to transcend itself?
Yeah.
And we do that by stating our truth. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And that and the I am is hugely important, because I just want to reiterate it, because it is important. In fact, it's saying those two syllables is probably one of the most important things, because anything that comes after that, and this is something that was learned and then that was felt, and it was been a case of, well, that is what it is. Then even after that, I am, and you don't have to say anything and just feel, you know, but what comes after I am, you better make pretty darn sure that that is your truth. Because if it's not, then that's it's equally as powerful.
Yes, it is.
And it has a habit of pulling you right back down if you don't really mean what you say. And that's another part of my existence that had changed rapidly, almost overnight, actually, was you better start speaking kind of what you say. You can still be Joff. You still do it with the way you do it. But I've got a couple more questions just in these last two, well, I don't know, couple of minutes, but they're kind of yes or no. Is, right, one, do you still drink beer, Lisa?
Yes, I do. I like beer.
Okay. And two, how's your shoulder? I sent you some like energy healing, but it was a short session. But
I can now put
it.
I can put it behind me now. I can't bend it all the way up behind me.
That's beautiful.
I can put it without pain. So
higher than
that's really cool. So thank
you when you showed me.
Oh well, I couldn't even put it behind me. I couldn't put my arm behind my back. Yeah, so thank you for the healing. And I thought, whoa,
that's
I can finally do that. Yeah,
and
start raising it up behind my back. Yeah, that's self-healing.
Whoa.
Thank you. Please, I accept.
It's a pleasure.
I accept.
Yes. Yay. Oh, man, I tell you what, I think I kind of wanted to ask those things on purpose. One, because we're kind of to have the odd beer or whatever, it kind of makes you human. It means you don't have to sort of like grow wings and flap around and get around that way, because
right.
It's just not going to happen, really. I mean, good if you do and all that. But you might stand out a bit. Who would be that bee? Who knows? Anyway, but then the whole point of, say, distant healing or healing in general, yeah, we do we do it to each other. We are... for each other with loving intent and some focus. It's all doable. It doesn't really necessarily matter what the modality is if you mean it. It's a beautiful thing. So Lisa, last couple of words before we duck out, anything?
Because I see every single man, woman, and child on this earth as a brother. No matter what state of mind and what occupation or how, you know, I see everybody as a brother, and I would encourage everybody to find that inner space. There's a whole world inside of you waiting for you. What I call it, life itself. Go for it. Aim high. Go for it.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Lisa, thank you so much for being
here. You're welcome, Josh. Thank
on
you.
On LifeWise Radio. You can find Lisa on Facebook. No books or anything just as yet. I mean, there's a paper. And if that's okay with you, I can put that link on the website, on the LifeWise Collective website, if that's cool.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. Yeah, we'll follow up on email, with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll stay in cahoots with you. And love you very much. I think you're amazing. And once again, thank you for being on LifeWise Radio. Lisa Rowe.
I love you too. Bye. Bye, Josh. Thank you, everyone.
Much love. Okay. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.